I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator Mark Pryor. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, and thanks for having me again.
Good to have you with us. We're just listening on NPR there on Morning Edition to the Republican candidates for president and their comments in a debate about abortion mainly last night. Wanted to hear just kind of your thoughts about how you see this election shaking out. It's been interesting to watch the Republican side of the presidential race this year. There are also important congressional races coming up this year. Any predictions?
Well, 2012 obviously is going to be a big year for elections. And I guess on the presidential side, from my standpoint, it seems that the Republicans have really struggle to find a candidate that they can coalesce around. And I've always kind of thought it might be Romney, and it looks like it is now going to be Romney. But, you know, he's going to have to get through South Carolina and Florida before everybody knows that. But I don't know. I think a lot of the, you know, real kind of the rank-and-file Republicans are not completely satisfied with Romney. But at this point, my guess is it's going to be him. But there are going to be congressional elections all over the country, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of good issues discussed. And, you know, I think that both parties are trying to put forth very good candidates. So, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm not up this year. I'm not up till 2014. So, you know, I'm going to sit back and watch like the rest of everybody else.
Well, the Obama administration made a controversial decision yesterday in denying a permit for the Keystone XL oil pipeline from Canada. Republican lawmakers were outraged by this decision, but it wasn't just Republicans. You're not happy with this decision either.
Yeah, I disagree with the Obama administration on this. I think that, first, that pipeline, that oil is going to be produced. I mean, they have a great asset there up in Canada. They're either going to build a pipeline down into the U.S. and let us refine it here and use it here, or they're going to build a pipeline to their west coast and they're going to send it to China. I mean, I think it's pretty much that simple. So let's allow it to happen. Let's allow it to come into the U.S. Let's refine it here. It's going to meet all our environmental standards. You know, when we put it in our cars are going to burn cleaner than cars over in China. So, you know, let's just do it. And I disagree with the president. I think we ought to do it. I've supported this for a long time. And even though Canada is not truly a domestic source of oil, it is still technically foreign oil. We have such a close relationship with Canada. You know, it's North American oil, and it's not going to a hostile nation at all. So I think, or coming from a hostile nation at all. So I think that we ought to do what we can to make this happen sometime the next year.
Now, yeah, of course, this decision doesn't mean the project will not happen, but it is a significant postponement.
Yeah, it is a significant postponement, but also you have to understand that the politics and the rhetoric on this is going into overdrive, and it has for a while. In fact, in some ways, this is kind of what's wrong with Washington. You have a project that ought to be considered, that we ought to do. I think it's in our best public interest to do it. I think it's good policy, and there's lots of reasons why we should. It's not without, you know, a downside, and we need to think about all that, talk about that. But nonetheless, I think in the end, it's a good call that we do this. But the rhetoric has become so red hot on it that, you know, it's hard to, you know, make a good decision in an election year on something like this. So, unfortunately, it's probably more of a casualty of politics, but I do think it's a temporary casualty. My guess is we do this next year after the election.
Well, you know, many people are understandably wary of oil pipelines, especially since the BP oil spill in the Gulf. And there were concerns about the pipeline running through in some environmentally sensitive areas in Nebraska and other places, and other concerns as well. Do these concerns represent a concern to you? If this oil pipeline was proposed to run through the Ozark National Forest, would you feel differently about it?
Yeah, I don't think I would. We would have to look and see where it's running and how it's going to do, but I don't really think I would. You can look at the history of pipelines in this country. They're extremely safe. There are very, very few spills, very few problems with them. We've been doing pipelines for a long, long time. In fact, we have a pipeline that goes over one of the bridges here in Little Rock across the Arkansas River, and I think someone said that pipeline is from the 30s or 40s. So, you know, we're comfortable with pipelines in our state. We know how they go. We have a lot of natural gas and oil pipelines running through our state right now, so I think people here are pretty comfortable with it. And I think that also this is a nice job creator in the sense that a lot of that pipe is going to be made in the U.S. In fact, some of it's going to be made here in Arkansas. So, you know, that's another reason to be for it. I'm not discounting the environmental concerns. We should listen to all that. We should consider all that. We had to make sure it's safe, but I'm pretty confident it is.
Another issue making waves this week, particularly yesterday, the bills known as SOPA and PIPA. These bills meant to address the problem of online piracy. Several websites staged blackouts yesterday to protest the scope of these bills.
Yeah, listen, I am supportive of legislation that will stop piracy online. I'm 100% supportive of trying to stop that. I'm not sure these bills are the way to go. There's a House bill and a Senate bill. The Senate bill has gone through the committee. I had not sat down with my staff and talked about it until yesterday. So I know this has been bouncing around in the Senate for the last few months, but since I'm not on that committee, I really, it was just yesterday before we sat down and talked about it. I think the bill that Senator Leahy is pushing, I think his goal is right on. I'm not sure that the bill is drafted in such a way that he accomplishes what he's trying to do, and he may be accomplishing some things he's not trying to do, some unintended consequences. So, but I love the concept, and I think we need to protect copyright and trademark and patents, U.S. copyright, trademark, patents all over the world, and that includes online. So I support the concept. I'm not sure I support the bill yet.
Well, the last time we spoke, Congress was scrambling to wrap things up for the holidays. You were still wrangling over the payroll tax cut, as a matter of fact, at that time. You ended up reaching a compromise to extend that for 2 months and then come back to it. So what's next for that?
Well, it'll come up again in February, and I haven't heard of any sort of agreement yet, but quite frankly, I think the House got a little bit burned on this last time. I think that, you know, once they said no and sort of drew their line in the sand, you know, the American public kind of said, well, what are you guys doing up there? And sure enough, a day or two later, they passed something. So I think my guess is we'll be able to pass something in February and get it through the end of the year. That's what everybody wants. What we don't need, though, is we don't need to load it up like a Christmas tree. You know, this is a popular bill. We need to just pass the bill in a straightforward fashion and not start adding all kinds of other stuff onto it. Like, for example, one thing the House tried to add last time was the pipeline. You know, the pipeline has nothing to do with this payroll tax reduction. So let's just handle it one issue at a time, and I think it'd pass with flying colors.
Well, one of the issues is how to pay for this particular tax cut. This is what we're basically talking about, I believe, is shaving 2% off of what's being withheld from Social Security.
Right.
Does this jeopardize the Social Security Trust Fund in any way?
Well, it shouldn't. Some people say it does, but I don't think it does, because what we're going to do is we're going to fill in the loss of revenue with other revenue, and we'll put it back into Social Security Trust Fund. So I think it's going to be okay, and certainly we need to protect Social Security, and we have over 500,000 people in our state that draw Social Security, and for most of them, that's all they have. They don't have a lot of other retirement. You know, they don't have pensions or things like that. So Social Security is very critical that we keep that solvent, keep it safe, and keep it sound. So I think it's going to be fine.
Well, of course, you're back in Washington for a new year and a new session. It is an election year, as we've already talked about. With all the politicking, how much can we really expect out of Congress this year?
It's funny, you know, right before we came on the air, I was like, I've been in Arkansas now for 4 weeks, and it's been great. I mean, it's been a great time to be here, and you look at the paper every day or listen to NPR, and you're like, what in the world am I going back into next week up in D.C.? But, you know, honestly, the good news is, and I've said this before, there's nothing wrong with Washington that we can't fix. It's all completely 100% fixable. It's just a matter of will, whether we want to fix this. And if we get along, if we work together, we can do great things this year in the Congress. But if politics takes over and hyper-partisanship takes over, we're not going to have a very good year. And I guess the good news is that it's all up to us, and it's up to the American people. And I hope the American people will insist that we have a productive 2012. I hope they insist that we don't stop governing in an election year, that we continue to make good choices for the country long term. And I hope the politicians get the message. And, you know, I hope it's a good year, but there's no guarantees at this point.
Well, one of the problems seems to be there's, 535 people in Congress and that many different ideas of how to fix Washington.
Well, that's right. But I do think, though, that you can come back to a pretty basic premise, and that is that in order to fix it and get things done and make D.C. more productive, we all have to work together. And that's what's really lacking right now. There's folks up there who are absolutely sincere, but they do not want any kind of national consensus. It's either my way or the highway. You know, that's their approach. Mm-hmm. And that's not good for the country. Our country is built on this idea of consensus and compromise, and that's what's lacking in Washington right now. It's hard to get a consensus on anything.
One issue you're working on right now is a plan by the Army Corps of Engineers to close around 500 campsites in Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of working against that idea right now because this has happened before. They got in a tight budget situation a few years ago. It's probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and they wanted to close some of these campsites. The truth is that there are hundreds and hundreds of families all over Arkansas that rely on these Corps of Engineers campsites, and they're great. And it's a great experience for the family. It's a good, you know, cheap family vacation. People go out there and camp, and they fish, and they have access to the outdoors, and it's a great thing. But they're in a tight budget situation again. So they're talking about closing. My understanding is it's less than 10%, but still, it's a significant cut, and so we're going to be working with the Corps to try to make sure if they do this that it's done fairly and done in the right way. And I'd love to have some options, maybe some local options, where maybe a local community, a county, a city or something could on their own keep something open, you know, that type of thing. So we're going to try to work with the Corps and try to make sure this is painless as possible.
Well, we have a listener who is an advocate for pancreatic cancer research who's shared with us her concern about the future of federal funding for this research in a budget-cutting atmosphere.
Well, the Corps of Engineers and that medical research, those are classic examples of the pain we're going to go through if we do continue to cut our spending. And I think the American public wants us to cut our spending. And in fact, you could say that the Corps of Engineers and some of the other cuts you're seeing, they're basically just doing what the American people say they want, which is, you know, smaller government, less spending, et cetera. And, you know, all that's fair, but I do agree with your listener there that the medical research is critical, that the U.S. has led the way for decades when it comes to medical research, and almost all of that basic starter building block research is done with federal money. Most of it's done through NIH, but there are a few other programs. And, you know, we shouldn't stop investing in medical research. So that's going to be one of those fights that we're going to have in Washington. And I just need to prepare your listeners that this is going to be going on for the next 2, 3, 4 years, where there are going to be some very popular things, some very good ideas, a good use of federal money that's going to be tightened and tightened and tightened and cut and trimmed back and all that. And it's just the reality of where we are right now.
Yeah, well, I believe Senator Bozeman's actually co-sponsoring a bill that would specifically address this type of research, and funding for this research on this particular disease has been woefully inadequate.
It has been, and pancreatic cancer, as well as there's a few others that if you look at the numbers and, you know, you wonder, why don't we invest more in this? And I'm not saying it's politics, it's just for whatever reason, they've been underfunded, and the money really hasn't been there to do enough research. And it may be just be limited resources. You know, NIH and others don't have unlimited resources, so they probably target the most promising research and try to put the money there and get good resolution before they move on to other things. But I know that Senator Bozeman is on that legislation, and actually, I've looked at it. I don't think we've made a decision yet on what to do, but I certainly support keeping our money for medical research. I'm a cancer survivor myself, so I've been the beneficiary of some of that research money over the years, and mm-hmm. as have millions and millions of other Americans. So, you know, I support the medical research, and I think that it's going to be a very difficult task to try to find that balance in our federal spending.
Well, there's so many issues that are sure to come up this election year. One that we've heard that's gained ground in the last few months particularly is income inequality. Is this a real problem, a growing problem, and if it is, what can be done about it?
Well, it is a problem, and it is a real problem, and it's one of these things that, you know, you kind of hate to say it just like this, but it's almost like the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is kind of slowly eroding, and they're going the wrong direction, and that's not what we're accustomed to in this country. We've always had a vibrant, growing middle class. In fact, I just finished one of the books by Alexis de Tocqueville, you know, who wrote back in the early 1800s about the U.S., and one of the things he talked about was basically this whole country is a middle class. There's not a whole lot of really wealthy people. There's not a whole lot of really poor people. It's just all middle class, and it's all working people. And that was one of the great strengths of the country back in the early days, and it still is today. So we need to have the right kind of policies in place to get that middle class where it needs to be, keep it growing, keep it upwardly mobile. That's really been one of the great assets of this country, and we don't need it to go the wrong direction. And right now, it's teetering. So we need to do what we can to make sure that we have the right policies in place to create the opportunity that people need in this country.
Just a minute left. We talked about the Army Corps of Engineers having a tight budget already. They're still repairing levees from last spring's floods, and we're going into another spring planting season soon.
Yeah, we are. And this is the whole levee issue, as well as we had some damage to our highways from the floods last year, and we were able to get the highway department some money on that. In fact, you have some in your listening area that will benefit from that. But you're right. These levees are critical. You know, all of eastern Arkansas basically is behind a levee one way or the other. It may be from the Mississippi River or the White River or, you know, one of them. Mm-hmm. There's river protection levees all over that part of the state. Mm-hmm. And so we need to keep those levees sound. We need to continue to work with the Corps of Engineers to make sure that those levees are there because we utilize them and need them every day.
Well, we'll talk to you again next month on some more of these issues. We're out of time. I appreciate your time today, though.
Thank you. Let's do it again soon.
Right. Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.